We invite you to enjoy the next 60 minutes. Hoffa, our special guest, Miss Anna Mae Wong, the winner of the Texaco College Competition, City of North Carolina, and Al Goodman's Orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000... Ladies and gentlemen, tonight the horse show closes in Madison Square Garden. Tomorrow, Madison Square Garden. Tomorrow, New York will be a one-horse town. And here is the one nag who will still be here. He's Fred Allen in still be. And here is the one nag who will here. He's Fred Allen in here. He's Fred Allen in.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Jimmy, did I hear you say...
Yes, I will. Turns out every year, and I tag along every year.
Along, huh? You tag along, huh? You tag along, huh?
To think I look horsey?
Will you all fours, I'll bet I can sell you a horse. One, horses are relics. The only one, horses are relics.
Oh, yeah? Well, what is the automobile?
New models every year. Tops, him...
Well, you never had to worry about a horse getting a dent in his fenders.
No, you've got me there, the horse.
And nobody ever had any trouble with the horses.
Horse.
And nobody ever had any trouble with the horses.
Horse.
And nobody...
No, none in the way. Right, all right.
And what about riding? Run all night.
Well, all right, so...
You didn't have to drive into a Texaco station. You didn't have to fill your horse up with fire chief every time you... What am I saying? My bread and butter, I'm crazy.
We may have heard the end of Mr. Wallington on the program this evening. And now that your opinion of you makes it unanimous, Mr. Wallington, we turn to the latest news of the week. Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Publisher of Parents Magazine, in a recent speech, deplores the growth of comic magazine reading by the nation's youth. Tonight, Texaco News interviews Small Fry Authority and other non-entities to get their opinions pro and con on cartoon and comic reading as it affects children. Now, first this evening, Mr. Enoch Traub. Traub is right, isn't it?
That's right.
You are an authority on child, an authority on child development, Mr. Traub.
I am an authority on everything.
Oh, are you really? Well, how did you acquire your vast knowledge, Mr. Traub?
I run the Traub Research Bureau. I'm called the Dr. Gallup of trivia.
Oh, of trivia. Things the doctor has left. How are some of your recent surveys?
Feeling for gum.
Oh, you had a survey? You get your statistics.
I'm piling.
Oh, you feel... Low down, in other words. Yeah. Did you acquire your vast knowledge, Mr. Traub?
I run the Traub Research Bureau. Yeah.
Oh, of trivia. Take care. Okay. Well, what...
Feeling for that? Yes.
Well,
yes.
How did...
Laid under...
Oh, you feel... Low down, in other words. Yeah. Now I'm reading comics, Mr. Traub.
The ball.
Conduct it.
Well, two little boys were locked in a room.
Yes.
One boy was given a comic supplement section.
Yes.
The other boy was given the rest of the newspaper with no funny papers. Rest of the newspaper with no funny papers. Rest of the newspaper with no funny papers. Rest of the newspaper with no funny papers.
Survey was on.
Exactly. 20.
What?
Comics were still. Little boy who read the comics was still. Little boy who read the comics was still.
Children.
Traub survey settled the issue for.
Survey conducted.
Well, two.
Yes.
One boy was given a comic supplement to the newspaper with no funny papers.
Watch. The survey was on.
Exactly. 24 hours later, the door was open. The boy who read the comics was still sitting there smiling.
And the little boy who was given the rest of the newspaper.
He was gone.
Gone?
Yes, after reading about a robbery on the first page in the racing news in the sporting section.
Yes.
The little boy had climbed out of a window, held up a good humor man, and got $10.
Yes.
Then he went to the racetrack, and with the horse tips he found in the paper, he played seven races and won $800.
That closed your survey?
Yes. The good little boy who read the comics was given a lollipop for cooperating.
And the bad little boy, did you take the $800 away from him, Mr. Traub?
No, no. I let him keep it. It'll be a good lesson to him.
It certainly will. When Mr. Morgenthau gets through with him, it certainly will. Well, did you ever read comics as a child, Mr. Traub?
No.
Has it had any noticeable effect on you?
Yes, today I have no sense of humor.
You're smaller than you? Is there such a man? man who does your laughing, he isn't here now, is he?
No.
Well, isn't that too bad? We could use a laugh to get you off.
Oh, it's all right. I'll just slink away in silence.
Look, he's keeping his word. He's keeping his word. 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 Do not stop. And now, a young man, didn't you forget to give me your name?
That I did. That I did.
What is your name?
Sherman S. Sherman.
And the S stands for?
Sherman.
Sherman, huh?
Uh-huh.
Then your full name is?
Sherman, Sherman, Sherman.
Monotonous, isn't it?
Yeah, you can call me from any angle. I'll turn around.
Well, that's nice to know. Now, you said before, Sherman, that you were a... Said before, Sherman, that you were a... Said before, Sherman, that you were a... Said before, Sherman, that you were a...
That I...
Like best.
All my life, I've only read one comic, Joe Palooka.
Joe Palooka, huh?
Uh-huh. When I was a little kid, I first seen Joe Palooka.
Huh?
I took an oath.
An oath to what?
Well, other kids were taking oaths to grow up like George Washington or Singing Sam.
But you?
I took an oath to be like Joe Palooka.
And as you grew up?
All through life, I dressed like Joe Palooka, I talked like Joe Palooka, I got my hair cut like Joe Palooka. If Joe Palooka was happy, I was happy.
Uh-huh.
Joe Palooka was sad, I was sad.
Well, after emulating Joe Palooka all these years, what has it gotten you?
Today, thanks to comics, I got a reputation.
Really?
Yeah, every time I walk down the street...
Yes?
People say, there goes that Palooka.
Well, as a little boy, did you ever fall on your head?
That I did. That I did.
I thought. Now, a young lady who is bitter against comics is Miss L.V. Wentz. That's with an E, isn't it? What is your story? What is your story, L.V.?
Well, on account of comic cartoons, a beautiful romance was busted.
Oh, shucks. What is your work, L.V.?
I'm a compressor.
Compressor?
In a ladies' gown shop.
You're a compressor.
Shop.
You're a compressor.
Shop.
You're a compressor.
Shop.
You're a compressor.
Comes in to try on a girdle.
Well, you have your hands full, I am.
Jones, today I ate. Come.
A long time.
Is at my house for breakfast.
Putting you American plan, was he?
Years, it was me and the out
end. Uh-huh. Well, what...
Night comic magazine.
And then?
When he was all in from...
What finally happened?
Well, after 18 years of eating and laughing, my mother says, L.V., when is Humboldt going to pop the question?
Uh-huh.
I says, Ma, I'll go to work on him tonight.
And did you?
Right after he ate supper.
Yeah?
I waited till Humboldt let his belt out. He was gassy.
Oh, I see. Yes?
Then he laid back on the sofa.
Uh-huh.
I put out the light.
Yes?
I snuggled up on the sofa beside him.
In the dark?
Yeah.
And then?
Humboldt pulled out a flashlight.
Yeah?
And started reading the comics.
With the flashlight, huh? Well, I'll be...
If he was reading Superman, I wouldn't have cared. Superman might have given Humboldt some romantic ideas.
Well, what was he reading?
Little Abner.
Little Abner.
That's why today I ate Mrs. Humboldt Tilton.
Well, condolences, and thank you, Miss L.V. Wentz. We hope that you... We certainly hope that you...
Excuse me. Is this the Texaco Theater?
Yes, but who are you?
Falstaff sent me.
Falstaff Openshaw? That rhyming tramp who's been bothering me here every week?
Yeah, Falstaff couldn't come tonight. He's busy.
What is he doing?
30 days.
Good. Then tonight we won't have one of those stale poems.
That's why Falstaff sent me.
You mean?
He got some poems out through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine?
Yeah.
Well, look, I...
Have you heard her love taint the hate when he grabbed that freight?
No, I...
The clinkers are flying heavily, Jenny. You better lower your veil.
No.
Don't stop by to tuck me in, Warden. I'm tunneling through tonight.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Look, this evening we are discussing comic magazines and cartoons.
Precisely why Falstaff sent me. He has written a poem about comics.
What is it called?
The Daily Paper.
Well, how does it go?
The broker reads the financial page. The statesman, the news oversee. The fight fan grabs the sporting column. These things don't mean nothing to me. When I filch a paper out of some can, I don't want to read economics. The only thing uppermost on me mind is which page do I turn for the comics.
Well, thank you.
I'm nuts for Dick Tracy. I like the Lone Ranger. Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, the day laugh at danger. Toonerville folks, that magician man Drake, Superman, Blondie, she ain't hard to take.
Well, thank you.
When I'm blue and despondent, or down in the dumps, give me Popeye the Sailor, or give me the Gump.
Well, thank you.
Let the world have them sections that reviews philharmonics, the sports and the war news. Just give me the comic.
Well, thank you very much, your friend, the Paul. Well, that brings us to Kenny Baker, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as soon as Al Goodman can find the music, Kenny will sing Sing Me a Song. Thank you. That was swell, Kenny.
Gee, thanks for thanking me, Mr. Allen. I didn't think I'd be able to sing tonight.
Why not, Kenny?
I didn't gain sleep last night. It was too cold. I shivered like an aspirin leaf.
Like an aspirin you were shivering? Well, Kenny, when you go to bed, why don't you do what I do? Just put a brick in at the bottom of the bed at your feet.
I tried that. It didn't help.
Did you get the brick hot?
Get it hot. It took all night just to warm it.
Just to warm. Oh, well, then, forget the whole thing. Here's what you should do. You should use a hot water bottle.
How can I get my feet in the neck of the hot water bottle? Gosh, I don't know what to do.
Well, Jimmy, can you tell Kenny what to do here?
I surely can. Kenny, with cold weather coming on...
Yes?
Tomorrow is as good a day as any to attend to the winter conditioning of your car.
Yes?
Don't delay. See your Texaco dealer. He's ready to help you defend your car against mechanical wear and tear during tough winter conditions ahead. When he drains your worn, weakened oil and replaces it with the right grade of insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil, the battle against high engine heat and cold motor starts is well on the way toward being won. When he protects the expensive gears in your car with the proper Texaco transmission and differential lubricants, they stay protected. And as for the chassis, you can count on his stay-on-the-job Marfac lubricants. Yes, your Texaco dealer has the high-quality products you want, and he's trained to use them. So let a Texaco dealer winter condition your car tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest tonight, may I present...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, gee whiz. Now for some fun, eh, what?
I hope so.
Well, your mouth is opening. Is it going to say something, your mouth?
Yes. Did you hear Jack Benny Sunday night?
Well, only part of the show. I heard up to J-E, and then I turned it off. I just...
Well, how did Leo DeRocher get on Jack's program?
Well, who knows? Benny never pays his guest stars. He works on your program if you work on his. Oh, he shortchanged Orson Welles and a lot of people that way. Everybody.
But how can Jack pay back Leo DeRocher?
Well, when the baseball season opens, Benny will probably let Leo DeRocher dust off the plate with his toupee. You see, that will sort of square the deck. But enough about old Jackson. I have to get ready for our guest here.
Miss Anna May Wong?
Yes, now where's Kenny?
Kenny!
Yes, Porty?
Mr. Allen wants you.
Yes, Kenny, I want to talk to you about our guest. You know, she's Miss Anna May Wong, the famous Chinese actress.
Oh, I'm all set, F.A. I'm putting on a whole Chinese costume.
Well, don't tell me you've rented an outfit.
No, I had my nightgown Simonized.
Oh, you did?
It's shines like the seat of your Sunday pants.
Oh, does it?
I starch my beret so it'll stand up, and I'm coming in with a little punk.
You're going to be beside yourself for the moment.
Miss Wong won't know me from a Chinese mandolin.
It's not mandolin, it's mandarin, Kenny.
Oh, that's right. Mandolin's a guitarist's puppy.
No, yes, it's a mandolin is a zither with a goiter. I think that explains. Well, are you dressing up for Miss Wong, Portland?
Yes, I'm wearing dark green pajamas. It's a symbol.
What symbol?
I'm supposed to be two lotus stems.
Two lotus stems, huh?
Are you dressing up, F.A.?
Yes, I'm going to dampen my clothes, put a string around my neck, and go as an old tea bag.
And you're just the drip that can do it, too.
Well, if this Chinese routine doesn't go over, I will be the first radio comedian to ever lay an egg foo young. I'll tell you.
Does Miss Wong speak any English, Mr. Allen?
Well, I don't think so. Now, I had better teach you and Kenny how to greet Miss Wong in Chinese.
Gosh, can you talk Chinese, F.A.?
Oh, why, after playing one long pan for so many years, I've mastered the Oriental vernacular. Now, when you meet Miss Wong, here's all you say. Miss Wong, hulamar and shulamalakam. Can you say that?
Miss Wong, hulamar and shulamalakam.
Very good. Then she will say ding hao, you see? And then you say Hong Juk Chin Yuk Fung.
What does that mean, Mr. Allen?
Well, it's a Chinese greeting. I got it from a waiter in a Chinese restaurant. Now, just try it. Hong Juk Chin Yuk Fung.
Hong Juk Chin Yuk Fung.
Great. Now, if Miss Wong doesn't speak any English, we're in the groove. If she... Now, break it up.
All right, I'll put on my pajamas.
Yeah, I'll get my mandolin suit on.
Swell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present a charming lady you have seen many times on the screen and on the stage, the international favorite, Miss Anna May Wong. Miss Wong, my little staff will welcome you. All right, Kenny in Portland.
Miss Wong, hulama and shulamalakam.
Very good, very good. And now, give her the clincher.
Hong Juk Chin Yat Fung.
Great, you'll catch him, Miss Wong.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Allen. Is this some sort of a game you're playing?
Miss Wong, you speak English? Why, I thought I would have to interview you in your native tongue.
English is my native tongue, Mr. Allen.
Well, then we're all set. I'll introduce you again. Miss Wong, this is Portland.
Oh, your costume is beautiful, Miss Wong.
Thank you, Portland. Your costume is very pretty, too.
I'm supposed to beat two lotus stems, Miss Wong.
Well, you go away and lotus alone, Portland. Miss Wong, this is Kenny.
How do you do, Kenny? I didn't know you spoke Chinese.
Today I am a Mandarin.
Kenny.
Well, it isn't any worse than you did, chum. Hong Juk Chin Fung.
All right. I made a mistake. Enough is overdoing it, Kenny.
Where did they learn those Chinese words, Mr. Allen?
Why, from me, Miss Wong. A Chinese waiter has been saying Chin Yat Fung to me for years. Have you any idea what it means?
Well, it sounds something like, brother, don't you ever leave a tip.
I guess I'd better give up Chinese.
Well, it is a very difficult language. There are four major dialects and 200 minor ones.
Well, what dialect is Chin Yuk Fung? What dialect is that?
Well, I guess that must be one of the northern dialects.
Well, what do they say in the south? Chin Yuk Fung, y'all?
I hardly think so.
Well, tell me, Miss Wong, you speak such perfect English. How did you get rid of your dialect?
Well, I was born in Hollywood.
Oh, well, that helped, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
You know, it's a wonder you didn't catch a dialect out there. Is Anna May Wong your real name?
Yes, and in Chinese, it's Wong Lu Song.
Wong Lu Song. Well, what does it mean?
Wong Lu Song means frosted yellow willows.
Frosted yellow willows. That's beautiful. Can you translate my name into Chinese, Miss Wong?
Fred Allen? Well, it might take a little while.
Well, let's not bother with it, huh? It will probably come out on too long and mean molting pussy willow or something. But tell me, when did you start in pictures?
When I was a youngster.
Did your parents approve?
Well, not at first. They were convinced that I would never be an actress.
Papa and Mama Wong were mistaken. Well, it just goes to show the two Wongs don't make a right, does it? Tell me, have you ever been in China?
Yes, I spent a year in China in 1936. I had a wonderful trip.
Did you peek in at Peking?
Yes, Peking is now called Beiping.
Beiping. Well, by any other name, you visited there, didn't you?
That's right. I also went to Taishan in Shandong province. That is where Confucius lived.
Oh, Confucius. Do you think the Chinese people were offended when the Confucius say vogue was rampant over here?
Oh, no. The Chinese have a wonderful sense of humor.
Oh, really?
Yes. You can have more fun bargaining in a Chinese shop. If you make the storekeeper laugh, he will cut his prices.
Cut his price if you make him laugh. Say, if six acts of vaudeville ever walked in, he'd be out of business, wouldn't he? Did you see any funny things on your trip?
Well, there were some funny signs.
Signs on stores?
Yes. One sign said, first class tailor. Ladies have best fits upstairs.
Ladies have best fits upstairs. Very good. Were there any others?
One Chinese restaurant had a sign that said, genuine American chop suey served here.
American chop suey. Well, chop suey originated in this country, didn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, what does chop suey mean, translated?
Literally, it means a mixture of food cut up in small pieces.
Uh-huh. In other words, it's a soggy hash. I mean, I've heard that in the good old days, formal meals and banquets in China were caloric orgies.
Yes, some of them were enormous. I attended one banquet where they served 6 hors d'oeuvres and 43 courses.
Why, a meal must last over a fortnight there in those days.
Well, time means nothing in China, Mr. Allen.
Well, time doesn't mean much here, Miss Wong. Bulova gives it away all day for nothing. Did you see any American movies in China?
Yes. Of course, they changed the titles.
Well, I guess by now they're showing Tyrone Power in the Yangtze and the RAF over there. Did you see any Chinese plays?
Yes, I spent several days at the School of Drama in Beiping. I saw part of one play.
Part of a play, and you were there several days?
Yes, some Chinese plays have 72 episodes.
72? Well, it must be confusing. A play can open over there, and you won't know until 6 months later that it's a flop. I mean... Well, can you spot the comedian in a Chinese play?
Yes, you can tell all the actors by their makeup. Now, the villain, for instance, always wears 2 black eyes.
2 black eyes. And the comedian?
The comedian has his nose painted white.
Well, making up Jimmy Durante would be a project over there. Do they have many big stars in China?
A few. Actresses are very scarce. And so most of the popular Chinese actors are all female impersonators.
Female impersonators. Well, we have a female impersonator here. He's in pictures. Jacqueline Benny. You may have heard of he impersonates buxom old matrons, mostly. But tell me, Miss Wong, how do actors become actors in China? Is there a major boze over there called Fun on Gong who starts them off?
No, they're not so fortunate. A boy who wants to become an actor in China takes a 6-month test. If he's rejected, he becomes a musician.
Or if he can't be an actor... Well, artistically, then, that is as low as you can go.
Yes, it seems to be an unwritten law. If you fail at everything else, take up music.
Take up music. And if you fail at music, join Al Goodman's band. Now, before you go, Miss Wong, tell me, why are all Chinese people so polite?
Well, good manners are taught in the home right from childhood, Mr. Allen.
Are Chinese people polite to each other?
Extremely. A Chinese person always belittles what he owns to make his friend feel superior.
How?
Well, for instance, if I were out walking in China, and another lady says to me, your coat is beautiful.
Yes?
I would say, oh, this old rag, it's nothing, but your coat is the beautiful one.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, in true Chinese fashion, Miss Wong, I want to thank you for your very entertaining visit.
Oh, I was awful, Mr. Allen. You were wonderful.
Oh, no, no. You were wonderful. I was terrible.
Oh, I was simply vile. But you were magnificent.
No, not at all. You were superb. I was putrid.
All right, have it your way.
Oh.
I'm not going to enjoy this outstanding performance. Here's the way to do it. Stop at a Texaco dealer for famous Fire Chief at regular gasoline prices. Texaco Star Theater continues in just a moment when Fred Allen returns to present this week's winner in the Texaco College competition. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. WABC, New York. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, marks the seventh week in which the student body of one of America's many institutions of higher learning has elected and sent to the Texaco Star Theater a boy or girl chosen as that particular university's most talented undergraduate. Each Wednesday, Fred Allen presents one of these talented youngsters as his guest. The winner receiving a trip to New York with all expenses paid and a cash award of $200. Tonight's winner is a young man from the University of North Carolina. Now, Fred, are you ready to bid our guests welcome?
Yes, Larry. From the same campus that gave the entertainment world maestro John Scott Trotter and Kay Kaiser, we present the University of North Carolina's most talented undergraduate as of 1941, Alonzo Squires. Well, congratulations, Alonzo, and welcome to the Texaco Star Theater.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, and may I thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you're giving me and the swell time you're giving me while I'm here in New York.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us, Alonzo. Say, is this your first trip to New York City?
That's right.
And what is the one thing you want to do now that you're here?
You know, I believe I'd like to ride one of those escalators up at Macy's.
You'd like to ride one? Oh, yes, an escalator. An escalator is an elevator that makes it upstairs the hard way, isn't it? Well, if you take an escalator at Macy's, Alonzo, be sure that you don't wind up in the basement. I was down there one day, and before I could even get out, I was marked down three times. You know, I read someplace, Alonzo, that your school, the University of North Carolina, was founded almost 150 years ago, and that it's the oldest state university in America.
That's right, Mr. Allen, and the first of our faculty consisted of only two teachers, and they had to wait around an entire month before the first student showed up.
The two teachers had to wait around a month for the one pupil, huh?
That's right.
Well, I know just how they felt. I waited around 5 years for my first sponsor to show up.
That's what you mean.
But I didn't last 150 years with him. Well, tell me, Alonzo, what are you studying down there at the university?
I'm studying law.
Law. You want to be a lawyer, huh?
That's right.
Well, Rudy Valley was going to be a lawyer, but his voice was too nasal. He decided he couldn't go into court with his nose pleading, so he gave it up. But why be a lawyer? Why not be an actor or go into radio?
Well, I figure that to be a good trial lawyer, one must be about 90% actor. And if I get to be a good lawyer, why, I'd satisfy about two ambitions.
You will be Dr. Habeas and Mr. Crawford.
Yeah?
Well, I understand that your alma mater has contributed a number of statesmen to this country, Alonzo.
That's right. I believe it's one president, one vice president, and five secretaries of the Navy.
Five secretaries of the Navy.
That's right.
Well, they must have thought they'd graduated from Annapolis. They should have looked at their diplomas when they left school. Well, Alonzo, now, before you start your impersonations, I want to give you a message to take back to North Carolina.
I'd be glad to save you a stamp, Mr. Allen.
Well, I received a letter, Alonzo. I received a letter from Mayor King of Greensboro today. He sent me a hand of tobacco and a cotton nightshirt. Now, when you get back to Greensboro, will you thank Mayor King and tell him that I'm selling the tobacco to a certain company up here for 80% over the market price? And the nightshirt with the monogram on it is a perfect fit, especially the monogram. Will you tell Mayor King that?
I surely will.
Well, thank you. And now, what about your first impersonation, Alonzo?
Oh, well, I think you know this gentleman, Mr. Allen.
Hello, everyone. Bill Carter speaking. Well, tonight's news is ominous. The situation at Ascension Point remains unchanged. A certain embassy admits that the situation is most tense. And from a reliable source, I can't mention the diplomat's name, but behind closed doors, this party under pressure admits that a certain general may decide to move. On the other hand, the general may decide not to decide to move. And then, on the other hand, this general may make no decision until after he has decided to decide or not to decide. And so, that's the outlook from the moment, and so when we meet again, this is Bo Carter saying to you, cheerio.
Well, that was excellent. Was swell. Now, who is next?
I should like to give an imitation of Mr. Wendell L. Wilkie.
Fine.
My fellow Americans, I have never felt better in my life. I just thought I'd come downstairs and see how you all were getting along. Someone said to me a little while ago, don't give up yet. Well, I guess that person just doesn't know me.
All right, Alonzo, and now you're on your own.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now I should like to give you an imitation of Fred Allen as he interviewed Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of the American Tobacco Company's program.
And now, Jimmy, and now if I were to... Jimmy, if I were to ask you whose theme song was more popular on radio than any other person, whose would you say, Jimmy?
Well, I'd say probably Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs.
And you'd be exactly right, Jimmy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome to the radio audience Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of the American Tobacco Company's program. And how do you do, Speed? You don't mind if I call you Speed, do you?
Not at all, Fred. I wish you would.
Speed... Speed, when you came here tonight, I expected you'd start off with something like this. Good evening. Hello. But really, Speed, would you mind giving us an idea of how that chant really goes?
I'd be glad to, Fred. It goes something like this. At 31.
Well, that was fine, Alonzo, but tell me one thing confidentially. Why did you have to hold your nose while you were impersonating me? That wasn't a form of criticism, was it?
No, I was just talking through my nose and flattening my words a little bit.
Flatten them out, yeah?
That's right.
Well, now, what is your next impression?
Well, my next impersonation is a facsimile broadcast of the 15th round of the Joe Louis Tommy Farr fight with Ed Hill as between the rounds announcer, Clem McCarthy at the ringside, And after this fight, the two contestants will give their viewpoints on the fight. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the 14 rounds of the Joe Louis-Tommy Farr fight, and the 15th round is now coming up, and I see Clem McCarthy at the ringside, so take it away, Clem.
And there's the bell. And Louis comes out of his corner. And Louis comes out of his corner, and there comes Farr of his. And they're up to the ring now, they're sparring lightly, neither doing any damage. And there comes in Louis to the left of Joe, and Farr right to the body, and Farr on the right to the body. They're in a clinch, the referee picked him. He put them back out there in the ring, and they're sparring lightly again. And comes in Louis to the left of Joe, and another left, and there's the bell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, I'll have Tommy Farr, Joe Louis up here to give his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, take it, Ed Hill. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, we'll have Joe Louis up here to give you his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, here come the judges with the decision, and it's still our heavyweight champion, Joe Louis. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I see Clem McCarthy with Joe Louis at the ringside, and so take it away, Joe. And Tommy, Clem. Congratulations to you, Joe, on your fine work up here tonight. Have you anything you want to say to the radio audience?
Hello, everybody. I'm glad I win.
And what do you feel, mister? 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 And what do you feel made you win, Joe? And was he as tough as that Max Mailing fight?
I don't know. I don't remember much about that Max Mailing fight.
Thanks a lot for coming up, Joe, and congratulations to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, I'll have Tommy Farr up here to give his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, take it at Hill.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, we'll have Tommy Farr up here to give you his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, I'd like to say something about Texaco, but no, I won't have time for it. Here comes Clem with Tommy now.
And congratulations to you, Tommy, on your fine work up here tonight. Have you anything you want to say to the radio audience?
I'd like to say hello to my brothers and sisters in Tony Pondy, and I'd like to say that I'd done the best I could.
And congratulations to you, Tom. 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 Congratulations to you, Tommy. And that's all from the ringside tonight.
Next week's winner. Well, Alonzo did himself proud tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Alonzo. Thank you, Alonzo. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, our next week's winner hails from the University of Kentucky at Lexington. After listening to the three finalists perform over station WHAS in Louisville, the Kentucky student body voted, the ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is Miss Betty Roberts. Congratulations, Betty, and don't forget our date next Wednesday. Well, that brings us around to Kenny again, and this time Kenny sings Mama Maria.
She was a lady of the Latin Quarter. He was just one of all of those who called to court her. He finally convinced her to pick a trousseau because he sang to her just like Caruso. Mama, Mama Maria, this is my song all day long, Carmia. Fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-la, bella-bella-bella. Fiddle-diddle-lay, everybody say, I'm a lucky fella. Mama, mama, Maria. You are my life, be my wife, Carmia. Fiddle-diddle-dee, what you mean to me? You have no idea. Oh, tell me too, you love me too, Mama Maria. Fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-la, la-la-la-la-la-la. Fiddle-la-la-la. Fiddle-dee-la-la-la, ma-ma-ma-ma-Maria. Hey, Maria, this is my song, this is my song all day long, Carmia. Fiddle-dee-dee. Bella, 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 bella. Everybody say, everybody say, everybody say, I'm a lucky fella. Love me to tell me to you, love me to tell me to you, love me to mama Marie. Fiddle-diddle-la, fiddle-diddle-dee-ha, fiddle-diddle-dee-ha, fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-la, mama Maria.
More than to the message for America. Our fellows, 45,000 dealers from Coast Edisons, the Texaco dealers from Coast Edisons, the Texaco
local Texaco dealer. And like most men. And I think about men who have their business. And like most men. And business to think about faces new conditions. Even in these defense times, business to think about faces new conditions. Program. Selective sense program. Sectional defense are essential to our national defense. Are essential to our products. Are essential. Sectional defense are essential to our products. Service, enlistments, selective sense program. Sectional defense, certain areas of the country. In service problems for him. All of creative operations. All rearmament shifts in manpower due to service. Are due to ship operations. All rearmament shifts in areas of the country. In service problems for him. All of creative operations. Men have these same problems. Local businessmen have these other certain areas of the country. In service problem conditions that exist or may arise in the future. Take your patriotic understanding of their efforts to serve both you and the needs of national defense.
And now the Texaco Workshop Players. This is the only little theater group to ever appear before the American Medical Society on a slide. Tonight, we turn these artistic bacteria loose in a meaty drama of the machine age. It's called Havoc in the Auto Factory, or Nobody Was Fishing, But There Was a Jerk on the Assembly Line. Music, maestro. King Automobile, Titan of the Turnpike. With new models on display, American automobile production this year reaches a new peak. A reliable authority states...
In 1941, American factories produced over Derbogillion, Swarfeldrinsic, and 13 cars.
In 1941, 800,000 women drivers, as they received tickets for traffic violations, said...
I didn't put out my hand to turn, officer. I was drying my nail polish.
In 1941, over 9 million hitchhikers waved their dirty thumbs at passing motorists and yelled...
Hey, buddy, going either way? I got no sense of direction.
To make hot dog stands, tourists... camps, hitchhikers, major bows, and finance companies possible during 1941. Automobile factories work day and night. The names of the country's leading auto magnates are known to us all. But the one magnate no one has ever heard of until tonight is Hank Horsepower Allen. We take you now to the office of this dynamic schlemiel.
Allen Motors Corporation, step on it. President Allen, sorry, he's busy looking over a new chassis. No, not in the factory. Mr. Allen's out seeing the latest Lana Turner picture. I'll tell him goodbye.
Ah, streamlined good morning, Miss Hub, FOB.
Back from the picture already?
Yes, I didn't wait for the dishes today. After seeing Lana Turner, I got an idea.
I get ideas seeing Clark Gable.
I keep my mind on the automobile business, Miss Hub. Now, I got an idea.
From Lana Turner?
Yes. I'm taking the hoods off all new cars and putting on sweaters. Gad, what a sweater will do for those bodies.
On me, it don't make no difference.
I'm speaking of new models, Miss Hub. Gad, my new model this year will make history. I'll call it the Sweater Six. No wonder Henry Allen Old Hank is the greatest auto executive in the world today.
You lost a fortune on last year's model.
The 1941 Allen Typhoon was a colossal car, Miss Hub. I made but one mistake. I forgot to put in a motor.
But I'm not making that mistake this year. Since the new Allen efficiency system has been installed, every employee is a cog in a perfect machine.
Oh, that reminds me. Funston, your foreman, was in this morning.
Funston? For what?
The men on the assembly line are demanding 3 minutes for lunch instead of two.
Ridiculous. Our efficiency check shows a banana can be swallowed in 2 minutes flat. Why do the men need an extra minute?
To peel the banana.
Balderdash! An unpeeled banana can be eaten with one hand. It takes 2 hands to peel a banana. Precious seconds are wasted.
I'll send a memo to John L.
No, no, let's not start that again. Everything has got to run smoothly today. Mr. O.P. Emerson is coming from Washington.
To inspect the new Allen 8?
Yes, if we land this government contract, the Allen Auto Company will be out of the red for the first time in its history.
We can't have no slips today.
No, Miss Hubb. And speaking of slips, yours is showing.
Oh, I'm in it too far. I'll get out a little.
I wish you would.
Oh, gosh, maybe this is Mr. Emerson now.
If it is, this sketch is going to run 7 minutes short. Come in.
Hello, Chief. Remember me?
You are a cog in my perfect machine.
Yeah, I'm number 77. My name is Piddley.
Well, Gad, Piddley, what are you doing away from the assembly line? Allen 8s are going by.
God, don't worry. I'm on my vacation, Chief. I get 10 minutes off every year with pay.
10 minutes with pay.
Yeah.
Well, stick your head out of the window, Piddley, and get some sun on your vacation. I've got to
look, get... Mr. Allen.
Yes, Piddley.
I've been working here 20 years.
Well, congratulations, Piddley.
And for 20 years, I've been doing the same thing.
What is your precise function, Piddley?
Well, you know, not... 300.
Yes.
It's on the bolt that holds the body to the chassis.
Yes, indeed. 300 is the most important nut in the Allen 8 chassis.
Well, that's my job.
What?
I'm a tinker.
A tinker?
Yeah, as each Allen 8 moves by on the assembly line.
Yes?
I tap nut 300, 2 tinks with my hammer.
Well, I don't quite understand. Now, let me see. Here's a model car in the corner here. Can you demonstrate?
Oh, you bet. I got my hammer right here.
Efficient Piddler.
Yeah, here's what happens, Chief. Every 3 seconds an Allen 8 passes me, I spot nut 300 and I go...
That is your job?
Yes, sir. Every 3 seconds I go...
What craftsmanship! The nuance, the technique.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And you have been tinking nut 300 with this elfin touch for 20 years?
Yes, sir. Lately, I'm beginning to feel I'm getting into a rut.
You are thinking of the future, Piddley. You want to get ahead.
Yes, sir. After all, 20 years just tapping 2 tinks on that 300.
Your faithful service will be rewarded, Piddley.
Oh, Chief.
You're going places with this organization.
Oh, Chief.
Stop licking my hand, Piddley.
Oh, forgive me, Chief. My tongue was out. I weakened.
Give me your hammer, Piddley.
Yeah, there you are, sir.
Thank you. From now on, Piddley... This will be your job.
An extra tink. I don't deserve it, Chief.
That is for me to decide, Piddley. Time and clean living will tell.
Well, I'll come through. Don't worry. I'll tink like I've never tunk.
Tink on, loyal Piddley.
You bet, Chief. Goodbye. Tink, tink.
Gad. Think of it. Think of it, Miss Hubb. A whole army of little Piddleys out there in the factory, tinking, toiling we can't miss. O.P. Emerson will have to give us that government contract.
Will the Allen 8s be ready in time?
Why, they ought to be coming off the assembly line now. This is probably word this very minute. Come in.
Weffel reporting, sir.
Weffel, my vice president in charge of accessories.
Yes, sir. Will you okay this new triple-duty all-purpose horn, sir?
All-purpose horn?
Yes, sir. It has 3 buttons. Each blows a different horn for a different purpose.
Well, how does the horn operate, Weffel?
Well, if you want to clear traffic, you press this button.
Very good. The mayor will want one of these FOB in the morning.
Now, if you're alone in the car and you want to attract the attention of a young lady on the sidewalk, this button is pressed.
Hi, babe.
Dad, it gives the car extra pickup, that horn.
What is that third? What is that third button?
Well, when the finance company's man comes for the final payment on your car, you press this.
Yes. That tone, it has a Ubangi richness.
Yes, sir.
You have done a great job, Weffle.
Thank you, sir.
This Christmas, your pay cut will only be 10%.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now get this all-purpose horn right on right away. Mr. Emerson may be here any minute.
Yes, sir.
Gee, the Allen 8 looks like a great car, Chief.
This model will have more horsepower than the Rodeo, Miss Hub. It's been tested, you know. This must be Mr. O.P. Emerson from Washington now.
I'll hide your cigars.
Yes, do that. And wait until I reverse my dicky before you open the door.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Come in. Croupy gentleman, isn't he? Come in, Mr. O.P. Emerson.
Come, Alan. I'm a busy man. Where is this new car of yours?
The first 10 Allen 8s are off the line and ready for inspection, Mr. Allen.
Well, let's have a look at them. I'm a busy man.
Funston has lined them up on the workshop floor, Mr. Emerson, through this door.
Say, this is the first tile workshop I've ever seen.
Oh, wrong door. It's this next one here. Ah, look, my loyal employees have gathered. All right, men, you may cheer your chief briefly.
Hooray! A-L-L-E-N, Allen!
Thank you, workers. Now get back to your posts. Where's my whip? Scat, all, get back to your posts. The men are a little excited, Mr. Emerson, the first models, you know.
I'm a busy man, Allen. Are those these?
Them are they, Mr. Emerson. Gad, what a sight. 10 sleek, shiny juggernauts.
Yes, they look good and strong. I think you and I and the government can get together, Allen.
Well, look at this lovely brown model here, Mr. Emerson. I can't resist patting this smooth, gleaming radiator.
Gad! What is this, Allen?
Leaping pistons. I barely touched that car and it fell in a heap.
If these other cars are that shaky, the deal is off.
These others are as strong as Gibraltar, Mr. Emerson.
Say, it's drafty out here.
Gad, Mr. Emerson, you sneezed down 4 more cars.
How do I get out of here, Allen? I'm a busy man.
Now, don't go, Mr. Emerson.
I'm sorry, Allen, I'm a busy man.
Gad!
5 of these 10 cars are falling apart. Mr. Big will hear this.
No.
This looks like sabotage to me.
I don't understand it. Every second car on that line collapsed. The cars between are all right. Funston?
Yes, Chief. I just examined them cars that fell apart.
Well, what's wrong, Funston? Speak up, man.
Well, it's a main body bolt, sir. Nut 300 is missing on every car that collapsed.
Nut 300?
Yeah.
Well, who is it?
Pidley's in charge of Nut 300 on the assembly line, sir.
Bring Pidley here, Funston, and pronto.
Yes, sir.
I'm a busy man.
I'll straighten this out in no time, Mr. Emerson. Funston is bringing Pidley now.
Yeah, here's Pidley, sir.
Hello, Chief. Remember me. I'm the tinker.
You certainly are, Pidley, with a capital S. What is the meaning of this?
What, Chief?
Every other car off the assembly line has fallen apart.
Well, I've been in there tinking just like always.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Then why is Nut 300, your Nut, Pidley, missing on every car that came apart?
Nut 300?
You heard me. Have you been drinking? Let me smell your breath. Exhale, Pidley. I see.
You don't smell no liquor, do you?
No, Pidley, but I do smell Latakia. You've been smoking.
Yes, sir. I always smoke while I'm working.
You smoke on the assembly line?
I got jangled nerves. I'm a chain smoker. I smoke one cigarette after the other. It don't bother my work, though. I got a time.
Time?
Yeah, I finish a cigarette in one draw. It takes me exactly 3 seconds.
Well, how do
Every 3 seconds on the assembly line, a car goes by. I put on Nut 300 and I give it 3 tinks.
Yes?
The next 3 seconds, nothing goes by. I light a cigarette and finish it in 3 seconds. And another car goes by. I put on Nut 300 and a smoke, then another car, and another smoke, and another car. Been doing it 20 years.
Then what happened today?
Pidley forgot his cigarettes this morning, Chief.
That's right. I forgot.
Well, what happened, Funston?
Well, I give Pidley my pack so he could work.
Let me see those cigarettes, Pidley.
There they are, sir. They ain't my brand.
Well, no wonder 300 and Nut 300 is missing on half of these cars.
It's my fault?
Every other car got by you on the assembly line, Pidley. Instead of 3 seconds, you spent 6 seconds smoking.
You mean?
These are king-size cigarettes, Pidley.
You mean long-size cigarettes wreck these cars, Allen?
Yes, Mr. Emerson. Modern design made the big difference.
Whoop, whoop, whoop!
We're a little late, ladies and gentlemen, so thank you for listening and good night. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ten p.m. BULOVA Boulevard Watch Time. WABC New York 880 on your dial.